Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
And I'm John Wine.
Like the drink, I married a great name and man.
We've been married for 21 years.
But we've been together for 29 years.
We have 3 children, 2 girls and a boy.
John is a petroleum engineer.
And Amy's a marriage therapist.
We have decided to try and work together, bringing you this podcast. We know from experience that relationships aren't perfect, far from it.
And Amy has worked with hundreds of couples in a large private practice in Texas.
You can get those sparks aflying with some tips and tricks we've learned by making a lot of marriage mistakes.
And from all of Amy's professional work with couples, hey, you should be married to a marriage therapist.
So if you want to have a marriage on fire,
here we go.
Hey there, this is Amy, your host at the Marriage on Fire podcast, and I have a treat for you. And it's been a while, but guess who's back with me? Guess. Can you guess? Yes, it is the infamous John Wine. He is here and ready to chat all things marriage. And we're going to talk specifically about pursuers and distancers today. So why don't you say a little hello?
Hello, I'm here. I'm pumped up. I've got my coffee this morning and I'm ready to go.
I'm not sure he's as pumped up as me, though.
No, I'm not.
Like I'm over
it's
here
a little
doing,
early for me.
Doing a little dance and he's looking at me like, you have lost your ever-loving mind. So, tell me, what's been going on in your world, in this world of coronavirus?
Well, corona has kind of rocked my world with all this working from home and trying to do all these meetings online and everything and being part of the oil business, which has been greatly impacted by the corona. It looks like it's time for maybe old John to ride into the sunset, close that chapter, and maybe open a new one.
Oh, that's awesome. Can your speaker box go with you?
My speaker box is coming with me. It's mine to bring.
So some of them have heard me talking about your speaker box in the last few weeks, because I feel like I've been kicked out of my at-home space because you have taken over. Even if you're in another room, you are on constant conference calls and you have this little, 4x4 speaker box that you love and I would like to throw in the pool.
Right. Well, the good news is that is coming to an end within 2 weeks. So you will not have to deal with the speaker box, I think. For a long, long time.
I hope not. Maybe we can get you on the podcast more.
It'll probably happen.
All right. How are you feeling about all that? Not ready to talk about it yet?
Not ready to talk about it yet.
I totally understand. And that's not why we're here today anyway. So thanks for sharing a little bit. This virus has had its unseen blessings, but it's definitely got some...
Yeah. Definitely has some curses.
Okay. We'll go with that. Anyway, we'll talk about that at a future date when we both can process everything that has happened in the past 6 weeks. So like you, we are struggling and going through the same things that you are, just differently, right? We all have the virus as our common denominator, but we all have differences in the way things are impacting our family, because some people, everybody in the family's home, some people, they have essential workers for a spouse, or both of them are, and they're still trying to figure out how to work and come home and not bring home the virus. There's all kinds of different ways that's impacted each family. So while we're united with the virus, we also are different in the way it's impacting us. So one day I think we'll all look back and be able to talk about this. It just isn't now that I think it's...
I think we've been pretty lucky in our case, because you've still been able to find a space to even though we're both considered on the non-essential having to work from home, been able to find a space and work in the kids and everything through all this so far.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that impactful with your ability to actually go to shelter in your own office.
Right.
And work from there. Well, I can work from home. It's helped out greatly. It would be tough if we both were doing this from the same office at home or walking all over each other.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that definitely we've been blessed in that because we already had some struggles with us both going into our places of stress and old habits and things in our marriage. That if we both were here, I think we'd be at each other's throats. Like, I can speak for me. I would be ready to throttle you. Like, I have to have quiet, and you are anything but quiet.
Yeah.
I am considered essential, but we went ahead and closed our office and moved to telehealth anyway. So I do have a space to go to. So I'm definitely blessed in that. But let's talk a little bit about how it has impacted our marriage just in the one space realm of stress. Like, when we move into times of high stress, we tend to become more exaggerated versions of ourselves, right?
Right.
So, like, we can learn all the marriage things and we know all the tricks. And if anybody's listened to our podcast for a while, they know we're complete opposites. So, like, we have to be very intentional about making each other feel loved, right?
Right.
Because my language is not yours.
Correct.
And yours is definitely not mine.
Correct.
Okay, I think it impacts me more because I'm more of an emotional being than you.
Right.
Right? Like I...
Oh, for sure.
And I want to talk about it and I want to do all these things. And you're like, just leave me the F alone.
Right.
We definitely fit into this dance they call the pursuer and the distancer. And I'm thinking the audience can guess who's the distancer.
Really?
Well, maybe not. I mean, is it not obvious? That would be you. I am definitely the pursuer. So how does a pursuer react in high stress, right? And when their anxiety is up. So the pursuer, which is moi, we react by seeking greater togetherness in the relationship. How does the distancer?
Well, you know what I mean? When I get stressed out or whatever, I just want to like go be by myself. Distance myself physically from the area or whatever, just so I can kind of just get my thoughts together, you know, in my own world.
Right. So you want to be emotionally distanced and even physically distant.
Right.
Yeah. When your stress is high. Yeah. That creates some problems. I'm wondering if the listeners are like, oh, I got this in mind.
Right.
Some people, there's another pattern that we're not going to talk about today, but it's a distancer pattern. And that works for a while. Like I've been saying to you, I felt like there's a Grand Canyon between us. Mm-hmm. I think I even got mad one day and I'm like, okay, go ahead and build a second Grand Canyon, John. Just go ahead and stay over there on your side because this is not working for me. And you're just looking at me like, I'm doing all I can. Like I have got nothing.
Right. That's me. So.
Okay. So the pursuer, me, places a high value on talking things out and expressing feelings. And I absolutely believe that others should do the same.
Right. And I'm the opposite in that I'm most like very self-reliant. And I think that people ought to, you know, you're the only one that can fix you. And so I think I can do it myself and take care of my own needs. If that's my responsibility that I should be able, I can work through this. Just give me some distance and give me some time.
Right. And that drives me crazy.
Right.
I mean, I'm a marriage therapist.
And I assume, like, you assume, like, people are like you. We all assume, you know, that everybody's like us. But, you know, I assume that why can't you take care of this on your own? Why are you seeking out to talk about this, to bring this to the forefront, to keep coming in and presenting it to me or whatever? And I'm just exactly like, I have my own problems to handle. Why is she dumping this on me, right?
Huh. I didn't know you felt that way. I mean, I do in my brain because I know the pursuer distancer, but I've never heard you voice it in that manner.
Right.
But you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, why are you so silent about it? Like, just open up. You'll feel better. Jeez.
Yeah. Now, would you say the pursuer and a distancer is more gender-based? Because I know like a distancer, you know, you usually have trouble showing your emotions and being vulnerable, needy, whatever, which is kind of as boys, men, that's how we're taught to grow up. You know, you know, boys don't cry. You don't show your emotions and all that. So I wonder if this pursuer distancer thing is more along the lines of a gender base, or it could be either partner.
You know, I do think it follows along gender roles between the male and the female primarily, but not always. And I could say that from working with couples. I actually can work with a lot of couples, and I've come home and said, man, this kind of sucks, because it's like looking in a mirror sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Like I could clearly see. So I tend to attract couples that have the same unique patterns that we do. I don't know how it happens. It just happens. But every now and again, maybe 15% of the time, 10-15, I get it where it's flipped and the wife is the distancer and the other one is the pursuer. Or for some reason, they're both distancers.
Okay.
But I would say primarily, yeah. And I think I tend to attract the people that are like us for some reason. All right. So the other thing is, when you are being self-reliant, as you put it,
right,
I feel rejected.
Right.
Like completely. I take it personal when you want time and space alone away.
Right. And then that's when I get the dreaded, and everybody's heard this before, the dreaded unavailable tag.
You're emotionally unavailable.
An emotionally unavailable individual.
You know what I need? I need one of those buttons that goes, you know, those buzzers that go, bzzurk, bzzurk.
And then I'm shutting down.
I need an emotionally unavailable. Hello. Doop, emotionally unavailable. Hello.
I get the dreaded tag again.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't earn it, babe. But I feel rejected. I absolutely feel rejected. I take it personal. It's like, what the hell? Why is he out there hitting those golf balls again when I'm clearly sitting in the backyard by myself alone?
Right. And that's how I manage my anxiety, my stress relief or something. I'll get fixated on something, you know, if it's hitting golf balls or just taking my mind off of it by doing some, you know, a project that I know I have to get done or something. That's how I deal with the stress of the situation and do it and take my mind off of it.
Do you know how many
times? Rather than talk about it.
Yeah.
Or engage somebody.
Do you know how many times you've sprayed the weeds in the same area of the backyard in the last 2 weeks?
At least once.
No, at least 2 to 3.
Okay. Well, they were there.
Yeah.
My projects.
Maybe you aren't spraying them well enough or something.
I know. I'm going to have to get a new weed killer, I think.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I am sitting here by myself, alone, again, alone. Have we stressed the alone? And I do like my alone time. Like, I require alone time. But I don't want to be alone when I don't want to be alone. So will you start reading my mind on that and quit spraying the weeds? Would you say you have difficulty showing your needy, vulnerable, dependent side of you?
Oh, certainly.
Do you feel like you even have a side that's needy, vulnerable, and dependent?
Again, I think that's just the way being brought up, you know, with the macho guy by, you know, a couple old Germans and stuff and everything, just like hard as all get out that, yeah, I'm the guy, I'm supposed to look like I've got it all together and it's everything's good. So for certain, I do not like to look like, especially, you know, from all my dealings in business where it's very cutthroat and very, you know, high stress intensity. I have not learned, in fact, I've learned the opposite, how to build that wall to show that I'm not looking needy, vulnerable, or high stress.
You know, I only heard about a quarter of what you said. You lost me somewhere in there. You know why? I'm interrupting the podcast for this little moment. You're looking at me like, what the hell? That was a lot of words for me. Mm-hmm. I did hear you. I did get it. But what I kept thinking was, we really need to videotape these podcast episodes, which I won't allow happen because I look like hell. Like, we're talking no makeup, hair in a ponytail, my pajamas on, we're barely drinking coffee. But do you know how fun it would be for our audience to probably watch this?
Yeah, it would definitely be entertaining. I'm not sure they would, you know,
I'm not sure they're ready.
Frightening. But yeah, they might be appalled, but anyway.
What they aren't seeing is he was so into that little dialogue right there. Like, he had his hands and his fists were smacking together. So if you hear something, his fists were smacking together. He had his hand going to his palm. I mean, he was beating some stuff down, people. Mm-hmm. That was the most, I don't know, emotional I've seen you in a while. I'm sorry. That just tickled me. And I keep thinking, like, there's another couple that does a podcast and they do theirs on video, but they're always drinking. Like, we don't even need a drink. We're just crazy. Yep. All right. So here's the next thing I do. I tend to pursue harder when you seek distance. And what happens is I tend to pursue harder. You seek more distance. And then I go into what we would call a cold withdrawal.
You call it the frozen tundra.
Yes. That's my frozen tundra. Yeah. So when all of my efforts fail to engage you in my emotional world, I shut down completely. It's like Ice Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Except I'm a silent bee.
Right.
Sometimes.
So then, me being a little hard, you know, a little bit slow and not the smartest guy in the world, then I kick in and I will then try to pursue or ask or whatever. But she shut down. That's my excuse to give up pretty easily, right?
Yeah.
And because I'm like, hey, I tried. You know, I reached out. She was frozen. Now this is going to be conflict and I'm running from conflict.
Right. And I'm like, well, if you hadn't got us here in the first place, your failed attempts to drag me back in are pretty weak. Like, let's just see if he keeps coming. Like, if he's serious, he's going to try this more than a couple of times. Otherwise, he doesn't care. Right. Yep. That's my thought. It's like, yep. He'd care about me. Oh, yeah, now he's trying. Oh, well, whoopee-doo. Go him. Whoa-woo.
And I'm you know, just that thing like, hey, I am trying. You know, yeah. It's hard for me to try, and you didn't acknowledge my effort. So, again, to either, like, it's hard for me and to avoid the conflict, and I'm like, okay, I'll just wait another little while longer. Maybe this will blow over. Maybe she'll cool off. Maybe we'll get done, and then we can re-engage.
And what usually happens?
We don't re-engage.
We don't re-engage. We'll stay in the cold, frozen tundra.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's our Grand Canyon.
And then I'll retreat because, again, that's...
your comfort.
My comfort zone, retreat, distance, you know, to avoid the conflict, stay back. So it just exacerbates everything.
And what's happening to me is that anger is like on a low boil and it's bubbling and bubbling and bubbling, and eventually it's going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we finally start to maybe re-engage each other.
Right.
It's a sucky ass dynamic now that we're putting words to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. In the pursuer role, there are some labels people usually, like in my training, they put on themselves. Too dependent, too demanding, or too nagging in the relationship. I would never label myself as any of those. So I think they're completely wrong. You're just smiling at me like, do I say something or do I not?
Oh, you know, I've labeled you codependent, you know, on many of occasion when you're... Yep.
So, yeah. What's that?
So
you're looking at me like, oh, yeah.
So I can see that.
You're like,
That's a good label.
Do I say she has all three? And me, I'm not ready to admit the nagging, demanding, or too dependent.
Yeah, codependent, demanding. Yeah, they all three fit, dear. That's a good... I'm glad I got that list.
It's in black and white right there.
It's in black and white.
Yeah, I'm laughing. Not really. No.
Mm-mm. Not at all. You're not seeing the humor. You don't see in the humor in it when I do it in real life and use that, and you're not seeing it now.
I'm not. Mm-mm. I would never. It says they will label themselves. Nobody is labeling themselves.
You're
this.
Not labeled. I'll go ahead and label that. Don't worry.
All right. So the next thing is, man, this pursuer is starting to not look real good.
Yeah.
Is we tend to criticize their partner or my spouse, you, as someone who can't handle feelings or tolerate closeness. Do I criticize you in that way?
Oh, exclusively.
Okay, I own this one.
Yeah,
I know that I do. Like, it's like, suck it up, buttercup. Like, what is your problem?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Then what finally happens, and this kind of comes out with me in anger because I feel justified in it because, you know, I've tried. I've been shut out. Now I'm alone. Well, now I've been in the frozen tundra withdrawal for a while. Now I'm just pissed. And I'll tend to say things like, you know, what do you care if you try? Like, what? You don't give a crap. Like, why are you trying now? Don't bother coming out here. Don't sit with me. Nobody needs you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said all those things maybe in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And
at the pool yesterday too, man. I think when I sprayed my weeds or whatever, you were like, don't bother coming back over to the pool now.
Well, yes, because I asked you.
But I came back. I sprayed my weeds. I did my thing. I got my stress out and I came back over.
Okay, here. Let's talk about this incident. I think this is a perfect real life example. And I need to talk it out.
Okay.
You're like, great. Glad I brought that up. Here I am. Let's set the scene. I'm trying to relax because our house has been anything but relaxing over the last couple weeks. Like things you couldn't even imagine have happened. I'm sitting at the pool in the backyard and I've been there a while by myself. I have sat and read. I have worked at the pool. I have done water aerobics. All while you've been tinkering around. You went and hit your golf balls. You went and sprayed the weeds. I don't even know what else you did. But here, I know that you've been out hitting golf balls when you think I don't know. I feel like you knew that you should maybe attempt to pay attention to me. Did that ever thought cross your mind at that point?
Yes, and I had every intention of doing it.
Okay, pause. I call BS because I asked you, hey, babe, do you want to come and sit at the pool with me today? And you said, no. And you walked away and you went and hit your golf balls that you think I don't know about.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of that. I was messing with you. I should have probably not done that or let you off the hook a little bit or whatever. I was just going to trying to see if I could get a reaction.
Oh, no. See, we really need video because my jaw dropped. See, I call BS on that too. I think you wanted to see if you could get away with the no because it wasn't something you wanted to do. So you were just testing to see, is this going to work for me or is this not? And you went about your business, which I was perfectly fine with the no at first and even the golf balls. I just started reading my book again. If I got a book, I could generally keep myself occupied and happy. But then you come with the weed killer for the third time in a week or 2 weeks. And you're just over there, little Johnny spraying the weeds. And I'm getting madder and madder and madder. And I'm like, the weeds are a freaking priority over me. Because we're still in this tenuous place of me trying to come out of my frozen tundra. And now I'm like, the weeds are more important than me. So I sit there, I'm like, do I say something? Do I not say something? Do I say something? Do I not say something? I got a lot going on in this head.
Right.
So I finally say something. And you're like, I'll come to the pool. I'm like, hell no, not now. You don't need to come to the pool. We have kids interrupting our podcast. One moment. Hey, Maddie, we're recording the podcast. Can you pause for a second? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you sleeping? We're almost done. Hold tight, babe. It's all about you. It's 8:41. Apparently, I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Real world podcast at home during the virus. Okay, so I might have been screaming. I'm not screaming. I'm just loud because I'm a little excited.
You're excited.
Because now he's like, all of a sudden, I'll come to the pool. And I'm like, hell, I don't need you. Don't bother.
Mm-mm. Exactly. I took too long to get back out to the pool.
Oh, my God. So then
he
goes.
That's for sure.
And he comes and goes and gets his swimsuit on. And I'm like, really? I'm done. Like, I'm going to ignore your ass because I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you did for a little bit.
I know, but then I can't stand it because I need the connection so bad. Right. I got to take whatever little I get.
That's right. It all worked out in the end, people. That's the main thing.
Yes, I guess so. So what happened is I approach you with an emotional intensity that's ramped up in that because I'm anxious. I'm nervous.
Right.
And I need it.
And I'm more open when I'm like, it's probably less spontaneous. You know, when it's more spontaneous or just happens in a lower, I don't know, on a time and place of my choosing or whatever, I have a tendency to kind of broach these subjects and open up things when I go into that, right?
I know. I just feel like it's next to never. Like, if she's quiet, we're not going to mess with that and rock that boat.
And that may be part of my distancing thing and conflict.
Can you hear the other kid yelling on the Xbox in the background? Sorry, I'm just going to apologize now. I don't even know what's going on in there. Real life, people. All right, so here's the point of all of this. I want you to realize, and this is something I really have to work to keep in mind, because my thought is he doesn't care, blah, 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 blah. It is the pattern that is the problem. It's not the person, right? I blame him for it. He blames me for being needy and apparently nagging and demanding and too dependent. But it's the pattern. It's not the person. That's the problem in the relationship. So understanding this pattern and what your part in it is the first step to breaking out of it. But as you can see, we know the pattern. It's hard to break out of. So do you have any final parting words for our fans?
It's definitely, when you brought that to me and you showed me how the distance or pursuer thing, I said, that is us to a T. Understand that neither one's right, wrong, or whatever. It's just that as long as you educate yourself and you understand which part you are in that, and then you can identify coping skills and ways to communicate across that so you don't build a grand canyon, you know, between the two of you.
Yeah. You had quotes around Grand Canyon. I think I had us up to, like, I think at one point I'm like, go ahead and build the third Grand Canyon, why don't you? Mm-hmm. That became my, like, catchphrase over the last 6 weeks.
Exactly.
We're up to three Grand Canyons. So if you like this pattern and you want to learn more about how to communicate with your spouse, I have something for you, but you're going to need to be quick because I have a 3-day Make Your Marriage Communication Plan Blueprint Boot Camp. And I am going to take you through all of these cycles. I am going to help you create, based on your specific patterns in your marriage, help you create your own blueprint on how to talk to your spouse about it, how to recognize the pattern that each of you bring in, and then what in the world do you say? Because I got words all day long. You do not. Would a blueprint help you? If you could go to a blueprint and say, what do I say to my wife in this instance?
Yeah, it would. I mean, I always, you know, I'm a visual guy. I like to, you know, if I have a blueprint or something like follow instructions, that's us, right?
Yeah.
That's your typical guy. We can follow, usually if we have it written down or whatever, whether it's building, whatever, we can follow the instructions if the instructions are there.
Yeah. And then I think for women, it helps because we're so wordy that it helps, like for me, to condense it and bring it back down and put it into a few sentences so that you can hear and understand. And I need to stop talking so dang much because I need you to feel heard and understood. So I'm going to teach all of that in a live workshop. It's actually going to be about a week long, but it's 3 days of intense. But then we have other things and activities. I'm going to have live Q&A. You can ask me anything you want. There is a VIP option that if you want a small group, an extra one-on-one time with me, you're going to want to do the VIP upgrade at checkout. So this is only $27. It's worth, like, my time alone is $225 every 45 minutes with a one-on-one client. So this whole package is almost worth $3,500. I am doing it for $27 because I totally believe that if you can change this one part of your marriage, you can change everything, right? You just have to learn the differences. So I'm going to take you through that part of communication and help you build your own blueprint. And we'll go live. And I'm wondering, John, you want to come into the group with me one day?
Sure. I'm going live.
Are you going to go live?
I'll go live in the Q&A.
You've never even been on Facebook.
No.
You don't even have social media.
I'm not.
All right, you heard it.
Last man standing.
We're holding him to it.
Social media.
We will bring him live in the Q&A just for you. So go to amywine.com and sign up for the Reignite Your Marriage Communication Blueprint Boot Camp because it starts on May 12th. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that wraps up our episode for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show just so you don't miss any future episodes. While you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. I read each and every one of them. You can find all the links and information mentioned in this podcast episode at www.amywine.com/podcast.
Don't forget to tag me on Instagram at TheAmyWine and let me know what you took away from this episode or what you would love for me to talk about in future episodes. Thanks for listening, and I will see you here again next week on Marriage on Fire.
Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're going to tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection, we're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.